fire has begun to fall for the zeal of my house shall consume me. It's a fresh fire. It's a new fire. It's not one that looks to the past, but one that looks to me, says God.
Hallelujah.
For I've lit a flame, and I've placed it again in my tabernacle. Oh, Shadokol. For the light's flickered, and the light's been dimmed. For there are those who do not look at the light, but they look at themselves. And the fire had almost gone out, but I'm lighting the candlestick again, says God. I'm lighting it with my flame. I'm lighting it with my glory, says the Lord. And it's going to spread, and it's going to spread, because I've heard the cries of my people, and I've sent my deliverer to them. I've sent Jesus to them, for he is the light that lights the way. He is the one who shows the path to walk upon. And it's not by boasting. It's not by lifting up oneself, but it comes from those with a yielded heart to me, says the Lord. For men have looked to themselves, and they've looked to their own abilities, and they've looked to the textbooks as to how to do these things. And they've given themselves unto men, and yet have not given themselves unto me. But this new move, declares God, it's from those whose hearts are right. It's for those who will walk in my glory, says the Lord, who shun themselves, who shun the accolades of the world, but they're humble before me, says God. And I am drawing near to them. For men have known my ways. They've known my works. But I am opening my heart to them that they will know me, says God. And as Moses stood in my presence, so I am raising up a new generation that will seek my face, and I will speak with them face to face, for they shall know their God.
Hallelujah.
There are new things being birthed. New things. Not seen since the day of Pentecost. Not seen since the day of the outpouring of my spirit upon those first disciples. For they risked death even being together. And so it will be with this young generation. They will not bow their knees to the fear of men, but they will yield their hearts to the fear of me, says God. For they will know the Almighty God. They will know the God of power and of strength. And they shall know that greater am I than he that is in the world. And they will draw to me, says God. This new generation, this young generation, not just in age, but in spirit, for I will renew their youth as well as their strength. This is that day. This is that year of the turnaround. This is the mighty year. This is the great year when these things that belong to me are being manifested in the earth once again. And people will look and there will be confusion in the world, but not among my people, says God. For they shall know what is happening by the moving of my Spirit in these days. Thank you, Father. Because I know you all want to get out by 12, I don't have 10 minutes to preach. Because once I get started, it's going to be awful hard to stop. Because we're talking about faith. We're talking about trust and confidence in God. We're renewing that. Say our favorite verse with me, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That is such a powerful scripture. Every time we say that, just so much can come into my mind. He wants to use you to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge of the person of God that you know in every place. He uses you to diffuse the knowledge of him. And that's what's going on in our community right now in so many different ways. His fragrance is being diffused. The school superintendent from Mineral County got up and he was our first prayer at National Day of Prayer. And he brought in the revival going on down in southern West Virginia. And he started talking about, he met with one of the people down there that's in the revival. And he shared about that meeting with him, how he was impressed. His son is involved in it somewhere along the line. I don't know exactly how. I didn't get to talk to him that much. But his son is involved in that. Just a believer in charge of our schools. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been a long time since we've had a believer. They've been nominal believers, but we've got an actual bona fide believer as the superintendent of our Mineral County schools. And then after him, Pastor Nairn got up from Randy Nairn from the Episcopal Church, and he was telling me about this when I asked him to be a prayer for National Day of Prayer. He was telling me, he says, Gordon, we've got an opportunity in the middle schools. And they're doing a program in the middle schools of a Christian program after school. And he said, Gordon, we have 50 kids in the Kaiser Middle School. 50 kids coming. 50 kids participating. He said, we do some games, we do some stuff, but we always have preaching. We always have a sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. He said, Gordon, they're excited. They're excited. He said, I've not seen anything like this before. And he said, the principal of the high school has opened it up to them. We are getting favor. Hallelujah. And God is moving in our schools right now. Even as we speak, he's doing something. And Pastor Nairn told me, he says, we're expecting in the next year, I don't know if it's next year or when, but soon, to move into the high school because the same kids moving from middle school are moving up. And we're going to have a core group from the middle school going into the high school. You got to have a core. Jesus had his 3. He had his 12. He had the 70. And then he had the multitudes. What you find out is the 3 minister to the 12. The 12 minister to the 70. The 70 minister to the multitudes. This is biblical. This is how it functions. This is how it operates. You've got to have a core that's committed, that's tight. When my niece, who is now an Episcopal priest, now get that, a girl, an Episcopal priest, actually, now she's an Anglican priest because they left the Episcopal, U.S. Episcopal Church and became Anglicans. And there was an Anglican church in the United States, too. And they did it because of the homosexual thing. But she's an Anglican priest now and serving over in Europe as a priest over a small church there. But in her youth group, they had a small youth group, and you could only get into it by invitation. Everybody had to vote on you. and you only got in if you got 100% vote. That was their core, because they shared real stuff. It wasn't for people that they couldn't trust. It wasn't for somebody that would gossip. It wasn't for somebody that went out and told stories, or what it was. That was their core. That core ministered to the larger youth group where anybody could come. And because that core was so tight with one another, because that core knew one another, they knew their hurts, they knew their problems, they knew their pain. My niece once got close to suicide, and she knew where her dad kept the gun, and she went and got the gun. It was loaded. And started walking down the basement to kill herself. She got down about 5 steps, and she couldn't go any further. She said, "I tried to step, and I couldn't step. I put my foot out, and I leaned forward, and I couldn't go." An angel stopped her. An angel. She didn't see him, but an angel stopped her from going into the basement and killing herself. She said, "I stood there for about 5 to 10 minutes and finally realized I can't kill myself." So she went back and put the gun away. This is the power that God can have when we're real. This is the intervention that God can give us when we're real with other people, instead of trying to be fake Christians. Instead of just trying to do the thing and be accepted by everybody. But you can't be that way with just everybody. You've got to have a core. Every church needs a core. Every church needs people that are close, that are intimate together, that are real together, because that's where you can begin to minister out from others, because we know and have experienced the power of God for ourselves. We've got so many people, they get a touch from God and they think they can minister. I found in my life, God has to strip me down every now and then. I mean, just where I feel bare bones. And then he can clothe me. When he clothes me, I'm ready to go. But in myself, I can't do anything. It's by the power of God. This is what Christianity is. Not by my strength alone, but by Christ in me. This is what Paul was talking about. I have died, I've been crucified, but yet I live through Jesus Christ because he lives in me. I am no longer my own. I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to Jesus Christ. There's the Bible talks about Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. And too often as believers, we're content to know the acts of God. We're content to come to church and we feel neat and we feel nice and but do you know the ways of God? This is the difference between knowing that God wants to heal me and knowing he is my healer. To know his ways. God loves me. God is for me. God has already forgiven me. All I have to do is recognize his love, recognize what God has already done, and surrender myself, humble myself, repent, and yield to him, and he will come in. He will change my life. But the biggest obstacle is me. You can say amen to that. The biggest obstacle is I've got to get over myself and let God be God. Now I'm ready to minister. Now I'm ready to talk to others because I know I've been there. I was an alcoholic on the way. 3 months I spent drunk in college. Loved it. Never had a hangover. I mean, what a life for a drunk. Never have a hangover. All my friends got drunk on beer and they had hangovers every day. I drank the good stuff. Bacardi's, Jim Beam, Jack Daniels. I drank the good stuff. I tell you, never had a hangover. But finally there was a time God spoke to me. He says, "You know what you're trying to get?" I was drunk at the time. Do you believe God talks to drunks? Well, he talked to you when you were in sin, didn't he? And he talked to me with an audible voice. And he said, "You know, when you sober up, everything you're trying to get away from is still going to be there." I didn't know I was trying to escape anything. But anytime you do something that's addictive like that, you're trying to escape. And God ran right into me. got a hold of me. And I just gave my life to him. I don't know what else to do. But Lord, if I got to deal with this, I got to deal with it. Stop running from your problems and take them to God. And when you do, get ready to repent. It's a secret. I know there's ministers out there who say Christians should never repent. Oh, I beg to differ. Repent means simply to change direction. And if you're going to go with God, all repent means is, oops, I'm not going in the right direction. I'm going to go where God's going. Jesus said, follow me. And he walked away. I keep telling you, you would not like Jesus as a pastor. I'm telling you, you wouldn't like him. Oh, I'd love Jesus. Yeah. Jesus said, I'm going over here. But Jesus, we have a nice building here. I'm not into buildings. I'm into people. I'm going over here. Are you going to come with me? But Jesus, we got this really nice place here. Everything's really cozy. Everything's really comfortable. That's your life. Jesus is saying, if you want to get free, follow me. And if you follow him, how many of you know there's joy in the presence of the Lord? If we follow Jesus and we stay in his presence, because I got news for you. He's always moving. Very seldom is Jesus static. Very seldom does he just stay in one place. Now, he anoints places, but he is always on the move. He's a living God. And we've tried to make memorials and monuments to him. You know, the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Wow, this is a really cool moment. Let's build a tabernacle. Can you see Jesus in the middle of that? I'm just looking, oh man, you guys just don't get it. But that's how we still are. We want to build a tabernacle to what God has done instead of going where God is going and being with him. Amen. That's the message for this morning. Go with God. Well, I don't know what the vaya con Dios. Is that the right word? Vaya con Dios? Go with God? I'm impressed too. It had to be God. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. We're gonna preach this message one of these days. I believe that God is good. If you test and if you put into practice what you heard, the flame's been lit. Get in the fire. Get in the fire, amen. Get in his presence. Get into what God is doing. Do these things, and you'll have joy. Hallelujah. Father God, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, how you deal with us and how you share with us, how you constantly reveal yourself to us as your children. And for this, God, we give you praise and we give you honor. Father, we honor our mothers this morning. We remember them. Some of us, our mothers, have already gone on to be with the Lord, but God, we're so thankful for our moms. And Lord, let us remember our mothers while they're living with the same love we have for them when they're gone. Let us think about what they have given up for us and how they have strengthened us and to their best ability tried to bless us instead of always being so critical and harsh. We thank you, Father, for our mothers. And we give you praise, Father, that you are our Father, our Dad, our Daddy. We thank you, Father, for this family that you brought us into. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.